I neglected to mention before our last song that today we'll have a short conference after our immediately following services. And of course, lunch. And of course, after that, this is our cleaning day. We're certainly thankful then for our visitors in that respect. please continue to pray. I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians in the first chapter. Let me just read a verse that I suppose has is my text, my subject. Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. According as he hath chosen us in him. So I want to talk about the doctrine of election. That word doesn't happen to be in that verse. And that verse is in just right in the middle of a sentence. It's just, that's not a whole, even a whole sentence there. So I hope to expand from there and take this apart a little bit. But I want to talk about the doctrine of election. In that God chose us and give you some facts that support that, certainly scriptures here. But first, let me go to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And put a strong line under this doctrine of election. Isaiah 14. Let me read two verses here. 26th verse says, "This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? Who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" There, I feel strength and power in that statement. And that's how we should look at the doctrine of election. As if Lord see fit, and I mentioned some things that election is not or does not support, and then those that it does, we certainly need to view it with that right there in mind, that God and God's purpose is all throughout this. Now, in the 46th chapter of Isaiah 46, and 11, to underscore this, the second part of that verse 11 in Isaiah 46. "Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." I will also do it. So there's no ebb and flow on this. There's no varying. God purposes it. He decrees it. And it's in covenant, in fact, in the Trinity. And he's done this. If we ever think that, and even setting election aside, and then as we see, as people might suggest, how we are to be born again or anything like that, and so we have, there is a quote unquote chance that we might lose our salvation and all that. No, this is firm. Anything that God purposes, it's done. No varying of that. We can hardly, from my perspective, I can't even fathom that, because we change so much. I react to different things said and done and that I see and so forth. God does not. Now, there are a couple of ways that the world might say, well, this is how we might support the doctrine of election. And one of the things they say is in Psalm 14. Verse 2, it's also almost word for word in Psalm 53. It's also in Romans 3, this thought, but this also nullifies what that thought is. And that is, what they would say is, well, yeah, God chose us because he looked down in the annals of time and saw that we would do good. We would accept him. We would. No. He chose us. That's it. He chose us in spite of all that. Because he chose us. We have been elected, chosen, and him already knowing of the fall of mankind. So the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. So that's what they'd say. But then they'd veer off from that. And then he saw who would do good. And you'd do more good than evil. So, yeah, you'll be one of his. So he chooses you. No, that's not. That's heresy. To see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So then in the third verse, we have the answer. And it's that last song, that first verse, first phrase. I didn't choose you, Lord. I didn't choose you. That he chose us, and I still would not to this day have chosen him. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Then it speaks of the workers of iniquity. That's what he saw. That's what he saw. We were condemned in Adam. And I'm going to get back to a first chapter of Ephesians. First, let me go to Romans chapter 9. And it's hard to know really what order. I hope God will touch this and it'll come out logically and blessed by the Spirit. So in the 9th chapter of Romans. So, and this kind of coincides or goes along with that. God looked down and saw those that would accept him or would do good in any way. It's like, okay, so I choose them. They're in this innumerable host. That's not true. He saw everyone. When Adam wrote that eternal law given to him, all of mankind was plunged into condemnation of sin. That's all there is to it. That's where we are today. It could be the same. Mankind goes along. We're still in that. We're not, by the way, some of us, and I'll go into that us in a moment, but also that we would do good works, and therefore then God said, okay, they're doing okay. They got more good on that scale than the evil on the other. You know, it's all, you know, but that's not the case. And here in Romans chapter 9, we see that written. Talking of Jacob and Esau, for the 11th verse, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now put that aside. They haven't done anything. They're not even born. Not having done any good or evil, that the purpose, there's that word purpose of God, according to election, in perfect harmony with the election, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It's not of works. I don't know how someone can get around this at all. There's other scriptures like, well, I don't understand completely. This could mean that and that. This is, and we can go to multiple places, of course, to support this. And he says in the 13th verse, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So he loved Jacob, hated Esau. I don't want to go into that entire subject of it's Jacob that, you know, that we see Jacob the supplanter. And I was telling Brother Jacob that's here today, and my mental name's Jacob, the supplanter. He did not, if his works got him into heaven or kept him out of it, they would have kept him out of it. Let me just say that. Of course, all of us would be. And Esau have I hated. God loved Jacob. And remember what I just read in the 11th verse there. Not having done any good or evil, he loved Jacob. He hated Esau. Didn't like Esau a little bit less. He hated him. That's with the perfect hate. The hate that we might say if we hate something or hate that that happened or God forbid we say we hate someone and all. That's a sinful emotion. We don't do that. And yet we know the mind of sinful man that we still have. But God with a perfect hate. But we all deserve, Jacob, Esau, both, they both deserve to be still in that group that that God left there. So let me go back to Ephesians, first chapter. So going back to this fourth verse. According as he hath chosen us, so inasmuch as he has hath chosen us, so that is, like I said, it's a continuation of a sentence here. So we can go back up to the third verse, the beginning of a sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I won't go into all that. I realize the word places is in italics. In fact, I think, I don't remember the number, I seem like it's about four places that this exact phrase is used, every one of them, places is in italics. The translators inserted that. Anyway, but I don't want to go into all that. So blessed be the, and so I read that verse, then continues, according or in harmony with, inasmuch as he hath chosen us. So it connects that together. So he hath chosen us. And that word chosen, if you dig down into that, and I encourage you to do that, concordances and everything else, the 1828 Webster's Dictionary and so forth, that is, it's not just he's selecting someone. He chose us out. He chose us out of something. He chose us out of the entire human race, the race of Adam. He chose us out, and the rest that he did not choose remained where they already were. He did not choose some eternal life and bliss and in the presence of Jesus Christ and then choose some to eternal damnation. He didn't do that. He left them where they were. There is no unfairness in that. Right. The unfairness is that he chose us out, sent his only begotten Son to bleed and suffer and die for us, and that we might not have condemnation, and that we would be with God in eternity. There's the unfairness that my Lord and Savior had to suffer those things. And not just the eternal wrath of God right there on Calvary, but at the hands of men, all that suffering and the mockery and everything there, and the physical beatings and so forth. We can see that. We can not so much relate to it, but we can understand the painfulness there. But even in that, Jesus Christ was in full control. He was in charge. He was still the King of Kings. And he knew when he would lay down his life. Not one of those Roman soldiers that beat him and scourged him, nailed him to the cross, none of them would determine when Christ would die. He would give up the ghost. He's the only one. He's the only one. So we were chosen out. Still haven't defined we and us. The word us and we is all through this first chapter. And I'll get into that. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So this us, who is this? Well, I've got to go back and see, well, who is this? Who's this pronoun? pointing to here. So we go back up to the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to who? Who's he writing? To the saints which are at Ephesus. So the church at Ephesus, the saints that are at Ephesus, if they are saints of God, they've been made holy through the Holy Ghost in regeneration, and their soul and spirit is. And I tell you what, Paul would waste his time writing this letter to them if they weren't. But to the saints which are at Ephesus, but that's not all. That's not all that's in that us. And I'm glad he added a comma there and the rest of, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Amen. That includes all children of God there, the elect family of God. When you hear a preacher, by the way, I'll mention, refer to the elect family of God. That's all of the elect. That's all who were in, within this decree or this purposed election or choosing. That's who that is. And that's throughout God's Word, too. And so then you are forced to rightly divide the Word of truth in a particular few verses. Oh, wait, is this talking about the elect versus the non-elect? Is it just talking about those that of the elect that are true disciples of Christ, following Him, believing Him, trusting in Him, or those that are not? Then there's where the difficulty may come in. So there's the us, saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. If there's anyone faithful in Christ Jesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, they are have been adopted into the very family of God Himself, according as He hath chosen us. So who else? I want to tell you who us is here. And so I'll skip around a bit. In the next verse, it says, having predestinated us. Okay, so those that He chose are also those that He predestinated. That's in the us. We see this group, and it's all the same group, an innumerable host. I won't go into all of that today. Then, in the seventh verse, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Anyone that Christ died for is in this group. Anyone that Christ died for, because that's how redemption came about, He's shedding of blood, was also chosen and predestinated. And we can go to Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, right in there. So we have redemption through His blood. And we have the forgiveness of sins. So there's no remission and forgiveness of sins without shedding of blood. So that's that group. That's who us. So you can go as you read the fourth verse, if you're wondering, well, who's us? Am I in that group? I feel very strongly. I feel of a certainty. If I just narrow it down to the feelings that I've had in my life within me, that I am one of those. Paul apparently thought he was. He's saying us there, us. So according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So at before the foundation, before the conception, before the founding of the world. This happened in eternity. So if anyone said, well, yeah, but we had something to do with it, or they even get into the heresy of our being eternal in the past and so forth. No, we had a beginning and so forth, but we weren't even there. This is God. This is God. This is the Trinity that existed in eternity. Before then, before the foundation of the world, so why? So far I've just read, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So we get that. He chose us. Doctrine of election. So thankful that He chose us. Then we have so much more to do in our lives. We don't sit around and do nothing to serve Him as a disciple. So here's the answer to why. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So he did that. He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is already written to the saints of God. To be sanctified, that moment that we're sanctified by God, by the blood of Christ, through the Holy Ghost in regeneration, made holy. If, in fact, what I've been saying is true, and I believe it is, that if I died a natural death right now, my soul and spirit has already been made holy. It does not continue in sin. That's what gives me the trouble in my life. If I just didn't have that, I'd be free. And no, that's not how. I'm sin sick. I'm sick of sin in myself because my body still has it. There's part of that death. Those that have gone on, died a natural death, they did not. And this is the way I word it. You please correct me if you don't look at it this way. But if in regeneration we received eternal life from Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, then we have eternal life right now. When I die, I don't go on to the next life. I don't go into the afterlife. I just continue because there is no split second there between my natural death and my spirit being in heaven, my eternal life continues because I already have it. There's not a moment there, and that's all of that. That's what I know is because we've been given eternal life. I have hope in that. Now I pray that I have as I've heard Brother Tony pray before, give us a peaceful hour in which to die. And I want that. We were talking today about those who were so ill and just so near death, and then either the day before or right then, I mean, they either see something, they feel something, they will physically seem like they're so much better then. I believe they felt what they're about to feel. They felt what they will soon see. I'm so thankful for that we have that we still miss them. That we should be holy and without blame. And of course, without blame, I think through my life, like, well, I don't want to get... You know, Brother David may have done something. I hope I don't get blamed for that. And I want the blame for that. This means blemish. There is no condemnation. We know that. But in Ephesians 5 and 27, there's the same word here that I'll grab. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, without blame, without blemish. God, Jesus Christ did that. He's doing that and performed what he did on the cross there. That we should be holy and without blame, without blemish, without spot. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what we long for. That's where we will be. And we, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. That's in that next verse there. We have been, we were predestinated by God. But He chose us. He foreknew us. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. I have questioned. I know of a surety why Jesus Christ died for me, why God loves me. I think of His sovereignty. It's a pleasure of His good will. The reason I question, might question why, though, is because I I would say, if I say from time to time, I have this thought of someone terrible and evil and wicked like myself, sinful. I think it's more than from time to time suggest. It's constant. But then I know. And at that time, if I'm questioning that, I think, well, maybe I'm not one of his. Maybe I'm not in that us or that we. Then Jesus Christ knows immediately. He knows this saint, this one made holy, this sinner saved by the grace of my Father that I died for, he needs something right now. He needs something, as I talked about last Sunday. He needs to see a miracle like Joshua saw. And Joshua saw the very Son of God. I believe we see Brother David mentioned after he led that song that wish you could be up here and hear. And I'm thankful that, Brother David, you said the Spirit of God. That's what that is. We hear that because there have been some Sundays recently, I'll slip this in, that so many were sick or out of town. And believe me, there was kind of an echo out in there and there weren't many here. But the Spirit hadn't changed.
Right.
God doesn't change. He's immutable. God is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so doesn't change. And so the Spirit blesses us. Jesus Christ sings in the midst of us. He has, and I pray in the last almost 7 years that I've been here, has filled this house, this very house, with His glory. It'll lift us up above so many things and cares of life. The loss of a loved one. By the time I left home and got to church, I built up some head of steam, some anger at someone. And whether it be someone on the freeway or what it is. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God and His glory can remove that in an instant. And it'll be gone. Why does He do that? I tell you what, we're to glorify Him. And it's like, well, let's remove that distraction and bring you back to where you need to be to serve me. Now, if I can't drag myself out of that anger or that contempt for someone, have I stopped being one of the elect? No. I'm still in the family of God. Always will be. Israel, the Hebrew people, they were always Israel. They were always that family, those tribes, no matter what all they did, and you know well what all they did. But they were always in that, never taken out of that family and all. But they were certainly received punishment. But I digress there. So according to the good pleasure of His will. And then here it is, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein, in that, He hath made us accepted in the beloved. For eternal salvation, we don't need to check a box that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. I believe we do that in mind and all, you know, that's after we've been chosen, certainly, in predestination and all that. After regeneration, then, God blesses us through the revelation of His truths and then under the sound of His preaching of who we are and who He is. And we accept Him. I trust in Jesus Christ. I believe in Him. I have done that strongly. And then when I'm forced to truly just bow down, throw myself down, and trust in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that He's my Savior, then I'm shown that He still is. He gives us what we need. We have an amazing God. So amazing. No words can't describe Him. And so continues the sentence here. This is from the third verse, and I'm still continuing. Well, it ends the sentence in verse 6, but that's beside the point. Then he says in 7th verse, in whom we have redemption through His blood. So now, even though you already know who we is, we is there. It's you go back to the first verse and so forth and build all these around that description. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's in perfect harmony. God did not just toss justice aside. He didn't say, okay, I'll tell you what, natural parents should not do that either. We're taught by God. Child does something, they need to realize they're wrong, does something wrong. They need to know that. If they didn't know, and most of the time they know it. I did. I knew. They need to know that the parent knows it, and you're not going to get away. They talk about it, whatever you do, and then in love, chastise them. That's what God does to us. But even in our eternal life, God demanded a perfect sacrifice. Okay, where's that? Who is that? Oh, he had to supply it. The Son of God. He supplied that perfect sacrifice to redeem us from our sins. And then that all being done, all this is in the past. And then at some point then, the Holy Ghost, the third in the Trinity, applies that redemption to us, that very point. Sometimes, I guess, ridiculously, I guess it would be, I wish I could go back. What was that second, that moment that happened in my life? What was the difference and all? I don't really think I would want to, I don't know. I don't remember any time where I was pure evil and wickedness, enmity against an active enemy of God. I don't recollect that. But anyway, regeneration, being born again, which I've preached on recently, comes all after this. But that is only to the elect family of God. Those have been chosen out of the entire race of Adam. We don't have to worry about those that are still in that condemnation. So now, in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, if I can find Deuteronomy. The 7th chapter, I believe. Yeah, Deuteronomy. 7th chapter. And I know this is talking about Israel, that chosen family. Certainly we talk about the elect family and the fact that that is a symbol of the elect family of God. But let me go to the 6th verse of the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, and I will close with these verses. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That's a wonderful verse there. Just gives me peace and thankfulness, gratitude. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. That's not the reason. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. Because the Lord loved you. And because I feel that more strongly when I'm in this place, when I am among the church, whether it's in Mississippi or here or wherever, when I'm there, I feel that love there because the Lord loved you. Yes, sir. And I feel that, then I will keep coming back. I will be there. Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out brought you out. He's chosen us and them out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he's redeemed us. We weren't in Egypt. We weren't enslaved. But I tell you what, we were under the bondage of sin. Sin still curses us today. But there is therefore now no condemnation. So we don't have that condemnation. Now we battle that. I know we battle it every morning when we wake up to have that first thought be thoughts of God Himself. And we're blessed in that because He loved us. He loved us enough with that perfect love that He chose us out of all of human race to be with Him. In glory, may God bless you and keep you. We'll sing a song now.